In the book of John, chapter 13, verses 33 through 35, we find a command that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. And this command was a command that would define their lives and their ministries. It's a command that would shape their very identity as Jesus' disciples. We read this in John chapter 13 and verses 33 through 35. This is what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Did you see the life-defining command there in verse 34? A command that, if obeyed, would identify these men as Jesus' disciples. It's the command to love one another, even as Jesus had loved them. For the disciples that Jesus spoke to, it was of the utmost importance that they would keep that command to love one another, even as Jesus had loved them. Today, we can look at this commandment and we can say it is of the utmost importance that we today keep that command as well, to love one another, even as Jesus has loved us. Now, it's easy to say we must love one another even as Jesus has loved us. But what does it look like to love one another as God desires us to love? What does it look like? Well, thankfully, as we go to the scriptures, we find several descriptions of how we should love one another. And last week, we began a very short series of loving one another and what that looks like. And we saw four ways or four truths concerning Christian love. Last week and this morning, we'll continue that series, and we'll see four truths concerning Christian love and how that should be displayed in our lives. Well, last week, we went to passages like Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. We went to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23. And we realized that true Christian love is a genuine and a sincere love. So if we are to love one another as Christ has loved us, we must love with a genuine love, a sincere love. True love is unhypocritical. True love is what we could call the real deal. We must love one another with a genuine love, with a sincere love. Last week, we also went to Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, and we were challenged with this truth that true Christian love is a debt that never can be repaid. Now, some of us may be able to say that we have no financial obligations whatsoever. We are debt-free. But even if we're able to say that, there is one debt that we are never able to completely fulfill. It is the debt to love one another. We are never able to completely fulfill our obligation to love one another. There's never a time where we can say that I have loved so much that I never have to love anymore. We must continually love and love and then love some more. So just as our Heavenly Father always loves, that's part of who he is as God, so too as God's children, we must continually love and then love and then love some more. It's a debt that we never can pay off. We went to Romans chapter 13 last week, verses 9 and 10, and here Paul emphasizes that true Christian love does not wrong another person. It does not harm others. Rather, it seeks others' good. It helps. It doesn't hurt. True Christian love is demonstrated whenever we refuse to commit adultery, whenever we refuse to steal or covet, and the list could go on and on and on. Whenever other people curse us, in love, what should we do? We should bless. When other people do wrong to us, what should we do? In love, we should do good to them and pray for them. That's what true Christian love looks like. As we consider what true Christian love looked like last week, we went to Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, and we realize that true Christian love involves serving one another. If we're truly demonstrating God's type of love, then we're not going to be seeking authority or position for ourselves. Rather, we're going to follow Jesus' example. And when Jesus was on this earth, he didn't come to be served by others. Rather, he came to be a servant of all. He gave his life a ransom for many. If we are to love like Jesus loved us, we must be one another's servants. That's what it looks like to demonstrate true Christian love. That's how God wants us to love one another. But there's still more. We haven't exhausted the scripture passages that talk about how we should love one another. If we're going to love one another like God wants us to love, then we need to acknowledge the truth. We need to embrace the truth that true Christian love is a love that bears with others. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll look at verses 1 through 3. So we're in search of what the Bible tells us about how we should love one another as Christ has loved us. And we read this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And here the Apostle Paul says in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Then notice verse 2, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." That's what Paul says to the Ephesian believers about how they should be living their lives as believers. And part of that is they need to forbear with one another in love. Now, as we consider what this world is like and the type of people that are in this world, we realize that this world is filled with all different types of people. Would you agree with me? All different types of people in this world. And we have to admit that we're all unique. So there's no one exactly like me. There's no one exactly like Cleve. There's no one exactly like Gayla. That's the fact of the matter, right? And that's the case for all of us here. We're all unique. We have different personalities. We have different interests. We have different strengths and weaknesses. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all have our own quirks, right? We have our own idiosyncrasies. We're all unique people. And that's true whether we're talking about the people here in this church or if we're talking about people out there. We're all unique. We're all special. We all have our idiosyncrasies and quirks and personalities and all of this. Are there certain types of people that you just find difficult to be around? Certain people that you just can't, you don't quite mesh. It's like you're rubbing fur the wrong way. Are there people like that that it's just very difficult for you to get along with them and be around them? And it may not necessarily mean that person is behaving in a sinful matter or in a sinful way. That may not be the case. It may be, but then again, it may not be. Maybe it's just a matter of personalities that clash. But if we're truly going to love one another as Christ has loved us, we cannot limit the objects of our love. Jesus loves how many people in this world? All people in this world, right? Regardless of their personalities and their quirks and regardless of their sin, right? Jesus loves all. If Jesus loves all, then how should we love? We should also love all, shouldn't we? We need to have love without limits. As we think about the church and even this church, we need to love all within the church as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to view them as part of our family. We need to seek their good. Even if they annoy us, even if they rub us the wrong way, even if they wrong us, we need to love them. We need to be willing to forgive. We must not hold grudges. We must not have prejudices. Even when they wrong us or sin against us, we need to pray for them and seek to be a blessing to them. We need to love them with Christ's love. We know that none of us are perfect. You know, there are times we say the wrong things. There are times when we do the wrong things. But we need to give one another grace, don't we? We need to bear with one another in love. We need to do all that we can to keep the unity of the church. We always need to be ready to forgive. This is what Paul said about love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many times 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. Well, this is what Paul says about love in verse 7, that it beareth all things. That's what Paul says. And then if we'd go on to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, this is what Paul says. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." And then verse 13, Paul says, "forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness." This morning, I hope that you have the desire to love one another, even as Christ has loved us. Well, what does that look like? That means we're going to bear with one another. We're going to put up with one another. We're going to accept one another. We're not going to, if somebody wrongs us, we're not going to hold grudges. We're going to have a forgiving attitude. we're going to show love by bearing with one another. So if we're going to love one another as God intends us to love, then we need to acknowledge this truth. We need to embrace that Christian love is a love that bears with one another. Well, as we continue on, we could go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we find this truth in verses 12 and 13, that if we're going to be loving one another as God intends, we need to acknowledge and embrace this truth, that true Christian love is a love that's growing, it's a love that's abundant and abounding. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13. And notice what Paul says to the Thessalonian believers. We see in verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints." Paul says in verse 12, "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." If we're loving as God intends us to love, we're going to have a love that is abounding, a love that's growing and increasing all the more. Now, I want you to think back to that day whenever you were saved. And maybe you don't remember clearly the exact day when you were saved, but think about those early days when you were a Christian. Whenever you were born again, whenever God gave you that new life, you realize whenever you were saved, you were transferred from the devil's family to God's family. That's something that God did for us. And the moment we were saved, we were positionally identified with Jesus Christ. And so whenever God looks at us as a believer, God sees Jesus Christ, right? And so God's holiness, Jesus' holiness, is imputed to us. So God looks at us and he sees the holiness of Jesus Christ. That's our position. But practically speaking, in our day-to-day lives, we are far from perfect, right? We're far from holy. We're far from being where we need to be when it comes to love. Especially that was the case when we were first new believers. Whenever we first got saved, we were spiritually immature. We could be calling ourselves infants or babies in Christ. So we were immature in our understanding of who God is and what his desires were for us as his children. We were immature as young believers in our concept of holiness, and we were immature when it came to patience and kindness, and we were immature when it came to our love for God and our love for one another. We were still babies in Christ when we were first saved. But as we continued to read God's word, as we continued to pray, and as we continued to fellowship one with another and come to church and learn more about God and his ways, we began to mature in holiness. We began to grow up in patience and kindness and love. And that's how God intends it to be. You know, God could have, you know, done a miraculous work, and the moment we were saved, we were perfect in holiness and perfect in love, but that's not how God works. God works in the here and now by having us grow gradually in Christ. Now, if we don't grow in the areas of love and kindness and long-suffering, something's wrong. Think about your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. I think of my two children, little Evelyn and little Ezekiel, and they've grown, haven't they? And if all of a sudden they stopped growing, if a year from now Evelyn was the same size and she was exactly the same as what she is now, something would be terribly wrong, right? And we realize that to be the fact. If we stop growing physically, if we stop, you know, something is seriously wrong whenever we're in that period of growth. We need to continue to grow and mature. Well, it's the same way spiritually, right? If we don't continue to grow in the Lord, something is terribly wrong. If we don't continue to grow in kindness and in patience and in grace, something's wrong. If we don't continue to grow in love, something is terribly wrong. God intends for our love to be growing and to be abounding. We can't love in just small amounts. We need to have an overflowing love. We need to have a big love, not a small love. So as we love, we need to love one another in the church. It needs to be a growing love. So as we think about how we loved, say, 5 years ago, hopefully we can look back and say, wow, I wasn't loving as much then as what I am now. You can see, wow, I've grown over those 5 years in my love for one another and my love for God. So we need to be growing in our love for one another in the church, but also we need to be growing in our love for those who are lost, those who are headed to the lake of fire. We need to love them, and we need to be growing in our love for them. God loves us as believers, doesn't he? He loves us right now. But you realize God loved us before we were saved too, right? He loved us as sinners. We too need to love like God loves. We need to love one another, those who are believers, but we also need to love the lost. And we need to be growing in that love. And as we do so, we're going to be established in holiness, a holiness that's blameless in nature. We're going to be above reproach in holiness as we are growing and abounding in our love. Well, Paul prayed for the Thessalonians that they'd be growing in their love for one another, that their love would be an abundant love. And that was so important to Paul because we find basically something very similar repeated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. So Paul talked about love earlier in Thessalonians, and now he's going to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia, but I beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." So Paul told the Thessalonians, you are loving in a great way. You have even been taught by God to love one another. But Paul then said, I encourage you, continue to grow more and more in your love. So you're doing a good job now, but you can do better. And if Paul were here this morning, he could say the same thing to us. You're doing well in your love, but you need to continue to grow and abound more and more in your love for one another. Paul had a great burden for the Thessalonians. He wanted them to grow more like Jesus, and that included their love. And Paul had prayed for the Thessalonians that they'd be growing in love and that it would be an abundant love. And we find an answer to Paul's prayer, I believe, as Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. As he writes the second letter to the Thessalonians, he says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or as it is fitting, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth." So Paul's saying to the Thessalonians now, your love is an abounding love, but even then he could say, I exhort you to continue to grow in your love. It needs to abound even more, because as we saw earlier, no matter how much we love, we can always love more, can't we? So may our love be like that of the Thessalonians. May it be an abounding and a growing love. So as we consider our love this morning, how are we doing? How are we loving one another? Are we growing in that love? Is it an abundant or an overflowing love? Or is our love for one another kind of on a small scale? We want to have a large scale love. That's the type of love that we need to have if we're going to love one another as Christ has loved us. So far we've seen that true Christian love is a love that bears with one another. It's willing to forgive. It doesn't hold grudges. We've seen that true Christian love is a love that's growing and abounding. It's continually increasing all the time. And if we're going to be loving one another as God intends for us to love, then we need to acknowledge this truth. We need to embrace this truth that true Christian love is a love that's fostered through Christian fellowship. It's a love that's fostered through mutual exhortation. I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 10, in verses 24 and 25. And here's what the apostle, well, we don't know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but the writer of the Hebrews, he said this in chapter 10 and verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." I want to ask you a question this morning. Why are you here in this place at this time? Why are you here at church? What is the purpose of our Sunday morning worship services and our Sunday evening worship services? What is the purpose of our Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer meeting? Why do we find it necessary to gather together with other believers? What's the reason? Is it just because we like to? Well, hopefully we like to gather together and have fellowship and worship the Lord together. But is it just a personal preference? Or is there something deeper to why we gather together on Sundays and Wednesday nights? If I were to ask you, why are you here this morning? I think I would receive a variety of responses. You know, maybe I could open it up right now. Why are you here this morning? Does anyone want to give me an answer? Why are you here? Maybe nobody wants to give an answer, and that's fine. To worship the Lord, right?
Last Sunday, I was in the hospital. I
That's right. Amen. And we're glad you're here. We're here to worship the Lord. And that worship, it takes all different forms. And there's so many different reasons why we need to gather together. But our gathering together this morning is an important part of God's plan for our spiritual growth. As we gather together, God desires for us to be growing in our love for Him and for one another. So it's at times like this that we can exhort one another, encourage one another to live for the Lord, to do what God has called us to do. So as the word is proclaimed through preaching and teaching, our hearts are challenged. This is what God wants me to do, and we need to go ahead and do it. And hopefully, we're not just hearing the preaching and then that's it. Hopefully, as people, as we together hear the word of God, not only are we committed individually to do this, but we need to be committed to encouraging one another and exhorting one another to do what God tells us to do. See, God knows exactly what we need in order to fulfill His commands. And as we consider His command to love one another, what has God given us to help us fulfill that command to love one another, even as Christ has loved us? Well, He's given us the Holy Spirit, right? Without the Holy Spirit, how well could we love? We couldn't love very well at all, could we? But the Holy Spirit produces His fruit within us. And as we think about the fruit of the Spirit, the first one in that list is love, right? So God has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to love as we should. God has given us His Word, because as we study the Word, we know this is how I should love. We've seen many of the examples throughout this series of loving one another. But also God has given us each other to help us love one another as we should, so that we can encourage one another in our love. As we think about our responsibilities as believers in Christ, one of our responsibilities is to be having an interest in one another, to have a concern for each other, so that we can stir each other up, to stir each other up specifically in this passage, to love and to do good works. So God's desire for each one of us is to lovingly prod our brother and sister in Christ, to lovingly prod them, to positively motivate them to love God and to love others, to do those good things that God has ordained for us to complete. So it's God's desire for me to positively motivate you to the best of my ability, not only from up here, but on a personal basis, to encourage you to love each other as you should, to all of us to love us, to love each other as we should. There are some people that have the mindset, well, I can worship God just fine at home while I'm watching the TV or as I'm reading my Bible or as I'm praying at home. I can just worship the Lord fine there. I can watch a preacher on TV and I can be encouraged spiritually and I can worship fine just fine. I can worship God just fine there. Or some would say, well, I can worship fine just by walking through the woods. I can be just fine as a Christian on my own. But if that's our mindset, we're missing out on something very important, aren't we? Yes, we can worship God no matter where we're at, no matter what the time of day. We can worship God at home, and we should be worshiping God at home, right? But God's desire for us is not that we just worship at home, but we should worship together in a group like this. We need to realize that God has a desire, a plan for us as believers, and that plan is for us to encourage one another to love and to good works. So we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because as we assemble together, we are able to encourage and exhort one another to love and to do good works. So the question is, are you committed to coming to church on a regular basis? And if you're here this morning, I think you have that commitment, right? To come to church on a regular basis. And why are you here at church? Are you coming to church so that you can encourage others to live the way they should, to encourage others to love? Are you here to receive encouragement from others to love and to do good works? That's part of God's plan for us as believers. So what have we learned about true love so far? We must love because that's what God has commanded us, and true Christian love is a love that bears with one another. True Christian love is a love that is growing and abounding. True Christian love is a love that's fostered through Christian fellowship and through mutual exhortation. But as we continue on here and we look at 1 John chapter 4, we need to realize this truth and embrace this truth that true Christian love comes from God. True Christian love, consequently, must be manifested in those who know God. Go to 1 John chapter 4 with me, and we'll look at verses 7 through 12. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And here we read, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." I don't think John could have communicated any more clearly than what he did the truth concerning how we should love one another and how God has loved us. God used John in a great way to communicate the truth about love. John tells us so much in these six verses that we've just read, so much about love. We could preach an entire series of sermons on these verses. But let's just briefly look at this passage. In verse 7, John exhorts his brothers and sisters in Christ to love. He says, "Let us love one another." And what's the reason why they should love one another? The immediate answer is, love is of God. God is the source of all love. So if you see love at work any place, you know that God is the ultimate source. Love can always be traced back to its source, and that source is God. So if someone truly loves, we know that God is at work in that person's life. We can make the deduction that John tells us here. If a person loves, that person knows God. If a person does not love, that person does not know God. It's as simple as that. Those who love know God, and those who don't love don't know him. So if we are loving one another, that's a demonstration that God is at work within us. God indwells us. As believers, we must love. That's the plain fact of the matter. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you must love. Because we have received God's love in that God sent his only Son to die for us, and we've trusted in Jesus Christ for the salvation of our souls. We've accepted God's gift of love. We've been gloriously saved. And because we've been saved by God's love, we need to love one another. We have been saved to love God. We've been saved to love others. So to love is to live out who we are as believers. If we refuse to love, we truly are a believer, we need to love. But if somehow we say, "Well, I'm not going to love today," then we are really denying who we are in Christ. We are a living contradiction then. Because to love is to live out who we are in Christ. And to not love is to violate the very essence of who we are in Christ. So if we are believers in Christ, we must love. There's no options here. There's no viable reasons. There's no exception clauses why we should not be loving. So if you know Jesus as your Savior, you must love one another. It's a most solemn obligation, but also it's a great privilege. Just think about it this morning. What a blessing it is for us to love others even as Christ has loved us. To love with the same type of love that God loves. How wonderful that God has chosen us to be his channel whereby his love is demonstrated in this world. Are you committed this morning to love one another for no other fact than that you are a believer in Jesus Christ? You know God, the God who is love, and so God who indwells us is producing his love, and we must demonstrate that. It was long ago that Jesus told his disciples, "This is a new command I have for you, to love one another even as I have loved you." We today need to heed that command as well. Yes, we aren't walking with Jesus as the disciples did, but yet we need to understand and accept the command. This is for us, to love one another even as Christ has loved us. We've considered four truths this morning. True Christian love is a love that bears with others. Are you committed to that type of love? We've seen that true Christian love is a love that's growing and abounding. Is your love growing? Is it abounding? That's what we need to be having in our life. That's the type of love we need to display. We've seen that true Christian love is a love that's fostered through Christian fellowship, through mutual exhortation. Are you committed to coming to church to gathering together with other believers so that you can receive encouragement and give encouragement to love. And then true Christian love comes from God, and consequently, it has to be manifested through our lives if we are truly believers. This morning, will you recommit yourself to loving each other even as Christ has loved us? By God's grace, may we be the men and the women that God wants us to be, loving one another, yes, in this church, but also outside the church, loving as Christ has loved us. Let's accept the challenge. By God's grace, let's love one another, even as Christ has loved us.